Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and I am pleased to announce my guest on the show today is Lynn Janae Resetis. Hopefully, I haven't butchered her name. I had to say it very slowly in the intro and say it again here so that I didn't really offend my amazing guest, who incidentally was introduced to me by another one of our podcast guests, Lindsay Manfredi. So we'll also link up to that in the show notes because Lindsay was a huge fan. I'm so forever grateful to her for introducing me to Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
I am beyond thrilled to be here. And you said my name perfectly, so thank you. But kudos to you.
I just also realized, though, because we talked about this, I just screwed up because technically your full name is Lynn Janae, and I'm calling you Lynn. Does anybody call you just Lynn?
You know, that's because we're old friends, Kelly, at this point. So don't even worry about it.
Well, I am super excited, of course, for everybody to listen to this show. And as I said in the intro, and again, just now, Lindsay Manfredi had connected us. And after I did that interview with her, she talked about how much you and your books, The Plan, and some of your books in the past and your website had really helped her get into great shape and address some of her just health issues in general. And once I connected with you and we did a phone call, I took so many notes, everybody, when I did, what did we do, like a half an hour phone call initially?
We chatted for an hour and could have gone on for two, for sure.
Yeah. And so everybody, I just, especially, maybe I shouldn't say this, but especially the women in the audience, I just have to recommend way in advance. You need to go out and buy every single book that she has, period. She knows her stuff. This is going to really resonate with so many of you. You're going to have a lot of aha moments listening to Lynn talk about, of course, we're going to start with her latest book, The Metabolism Plan, which covers so many of the issues that you need to learn about, from inflammation, just general health, and how that all affects your fitness goals. I mean, ultimately, a lot of people are listening to Fitfluential Radio wanting to get in shape, but what they don't realize is it's a much bigger picture. It's not just about how much you work out in the gym. And that's potentially maybe a great place for us to start. So Lynn, you have this great new book out that's building on what you've written previously, and it's called The Metabolism Plan. For anybody that's just tuning in, that hasn't had the fortunate ability like I have to connect with you one-on-one, that hasn't heard of your plan, that doesn't know what this is all about, what's this book about and why did you write it?
You know, I wrote it for people that were coming into my office in tears and saying, I don't understand why I'm 10, 20, 30, 40, or 100 pounds overweight, and I'm eating healthy foods, and I'm exercising, and my doctor is saying, you must be lying. There's no way you could be eating salmon and green beans and be overweight. There's no way you could be exercising and have this much weight. So I want your audience to know, every single person that's listening to this podcast right now is eating at least three healthy foods that are causing inflammation and weight gain, and at least one exercise that is not working for their body and is slowing their metabolism. Mm-hmm. And that's such a fascinating concept. You know, that spinning class might work great for your best friend, but you're wondering why you're packing on the pounds. That the strawberries and Greek yogurt may work great for your sister, but for you, it could be causing chronic low-grade inflammation. And chronic low-grade inflammation is the basis for obesity, premature aging, and literally every single disease. And the thoughts that healthy foods could cause weight gain and that exercising too intensely for your body can slow your metabolism is something that every single listener should know about.
Mm. You just said so many nuggets there, and I think right up front, as we start to explore both the exercise exercise, excuse me, side of the equation here, as well as the food and nutrition side. What you tend to drive home and what I loved as I read your book was it came across to me that each one of us is individual. We each have our own, you know, let's just call it health issues, tendencies, things that we react to, things that don't work for us. And I think, and I've experienced this myself too, what is rampant in media exposure in the fitness, health and wellness space is a, whether it's intentional or not, it tends to be a one size fits all approach. You see that in books. All the books that I started reading when I first got into fitness, it was, here's this 90 day transformation. Here's what every single person needs to do. No variance. You got to stick exactly to this and you will have these extreme transformation results. And guess what? I was always the one that didn't get those results. And yet I had no idea that I had all of these food intolerances, all of these autoimmune issues, all of these hormonal imbalances going on in the background that were making the cards stacked against me. Do you think that there, I know the answer is yes, but would you say that most people out there, especially it seems women, tend to have a lot more issues? And I could be wrong. Correct me if I am. Would you say that most there's more people than not that are struggling with issues and they don't even realize it? They're just thinking, I'm not working out enough. I'm not eating as little as I should. They don't even know that there's all of these other factors that they have to consider and that there's an individual fit for them. Would you agree?
Yes, so let's address that because you bring up so many points that are so important. First of all, when you're reading any research, as a researcher, I can tell you that if something works for 70% of the population, this is considered highly effective and you are told to do it. And many of the times you're going to fall in the 30% that it's not working for. So when we're talking about foods, for example, somebody says that you need to eat salmon because salmon is healthy. If you're the percentage that salmon doesn't work for, what's going to happen is a very interesting chain of events. You're going to have short-term water weight gain. You're going to raise cortisol levels, which causes long-term weight gain and skews your hormones. You're then going to attack your thyroid, which is your master gland for your metabolism. And ultimately, if you don't identify that salmon is in fact an inflammatory food for you, you are going to start to affect your immune system. Right. So all of those short-term events can happen literally in a 72-hour time period. So here you are plugging in that salmon 2 to 3 times a week, thinking that you're doing the best thing, wondering why you keep gaining weight year after year, why your hormones are getting worse, and why you're starting to have immune system issues. So once we identify that salmon doesn't work for your body and we remove it, the body does an incredibly wonderful thing. It immediately reduces all that inflammation and your metabolism comes back roaring full strength. The same thing can happen with exercise. If you have too much stress in your life, or if that exercise is too much stress for your body, it is going to raise cortisol, which once again starts to enact long-term fat storage, will skew your hormones, and will affect your immune system. So you can actually slow your metabolism by exercising too intensely for your body, which of course brings up the big question, which is, what is too much? And the answer is, I don't know. The great thing about my books are, it doesn't tell you what you need to do. Instead, what they do is they give you the tools to analyze how your body responds. And once you know what works for you, you take that data and you plug it in, and you are always rewarded with the best weight and the best health, and you finally have the answers for what works for your body.
You know, everything you said, I'm writing down notes going, oh, there's another question. There's something I'm going to ask. There's so much here and it's really good. But you mentioned several times in some of your answers here, you're talking about stress, you're talking about cortisol, you're talking about thyroid. These are all little babies that I've been babysitting in my house for quite a while. And I'm hoping that their mother will pick them up and take them away again. But I've been dealing with all of these hormones and they're just a pain, but it is what it is. And I think it's become, I don't think, I know, it has become very clear to me, and you picked up on this, Lynn, when you and I first spoke, but it's become very clear to me, we have an understanding that our hormones and all of this is connected, cortisol, stress, yada, yada. But I think what's really struck home to me recently is that, and what a lot of doctors won't take into account is, when you are a young woman, a middle-aged woman, whatever your age is, it doesn't matter, and you are not seeing the results from your diet and your exercise, and you are, as you said, you're doing all the right things. You're eating the salmon. You're eating the healthy fats. You're eating fruit, Greek yogurt, doing all this stuff. You're doing your HIIT training, right? And you're doing everything you read in Shape Magazine or Oxygen, whatever, and you're busting it, and you're tracking in MyFitnessPal, and you're not getting there, and you're looking in the mirror, let's get real. We should all focus on self-love, but let's get real. You look in the mirror and your clothes are tight and you're not happy. That is so stressful. And when you are that stressed, it causes this continual cycle. So the fact that we all need to understand, number one, there is no one size fits all. That can maybe be kind of a bummer to hear up front, because we're all impatient. We all want to get fixed. But that number two, if you calm down and realize there is a fix for me and I can find it. I love that when you said, if you read my book, I don't know what your answer is right away, but you can help that individual go through a process to find what's going to work for them. And so again, everybody that's listening, you can see why I strongly recommend her book. She's not telling me to say it. I just love that this is not a quick fix. It is not a, you know, 90 day, everybody do this and exactly this and don't vary it and you're going to transform. This is your journey to find out what's right for you. So back to what we talked
about. I wanted to, because it actually, you see such amazing results in the beginning of the program. And that's
true.
Motivational. So literally in the first week, most women see 7 to 9 pounds of weight lost, which is amazing. You can easily lose 9 to 10% of your body weight in a month, eating over 2,000 calories a day, and wine, cheese, and chocolate are part of the diet.
That's just, you just said three things that I love.
So often, as you said, because we're trying so hard and it seems like it's getting harder year after year. And I'm going to explain why it seems like it's harder. It seems like it's getting harder year after year to have our body respond. I want you to know something right now. When you gain weight from exercise and when you gain weight from a healthy food, that's your body saying, I love you. This isn't working for us. Please stop it. So we need to turn that paradigm around. We need to recognize that the scale is actually your best friend. Your scale can literally measure how much internal stress, healthy foods, and exercise is causing for your body. Now, we have this idea that our metabolism slows as we age, and really that's the premise that I address in the metabolism plan. Your metabolism does not slow down unless you make the food choices or the exercise choices that can slow your metabolism. But here is a fact. Really, over the age of 35, for some women it's earlier, for some women it's a little bit later, you do start to lose digestive enzymes, you do start to lose stomach acid, and you do start to lose saliva. So the diets that worked for us in our teens and our 20s are probably not going to work for us now, but that's okay, because I'm going to teach you how to figure out what works for you as far as food goes. And then as far as exercise goes, we lose some other enzymes like superoxide dismutase. And what those enzymes help us do is deal with the inflammation that too much exercise can cause. So my personal story, because Kelly, you and I were talking about this, was in my 30s, I used to run 50 miles a week every single week. And I was at Equinox 6 days a week working out. I love to work out. I love it. And my body fat was optimal. And I was at my optimal weight. And now here I am at 52, and I'm exercising 20 to 30 minutes every other day. And here's the crazy part. I'm exercising smarter, not harder. My body fat's exactly the same, and my weight is exactly the same.
Wow. Did it take you a while to get from, first of all, did it take you a while? What was the process that made you transition from what you used to do to this? And did you have to go slowly? And, you know, from someone like you, this is one of my things. I so love to work out that I definitely have a tendency to want to do more, but I'm starting to understand that, you know, hey, when I'm not spending 2 hours a day in the gym, that means I can actually like do other things. And again, back to what everything in your book talks about and all of your research, when you find the right fit for your individual self and you're eating right, then you don't need as much time usually, if I'm right, in the gym to like kill yourself to try to get the results. And then you can actually go out and enjoy yourself and go on a date and have a social life, right?
That's what I say. Enjoy that beautiful life that you are creating. And I, like you, I'm an exercise nut and I'm constantly testing. The great thing about the metabolism plan is you're always testing to see what works for you. So about 4 years ago, I was under incredible stress. We're talking just nuts, absolute nuts. And I was always like a heavy kettlebell workout kind of gal, you know, it's Russian, it's macho, you're swinging stuff around, it feels great. And all of a sudden I noticed, oh my God, I am gaining serious weight every time I'm playing with my fun kettlebells, which worked for me, you know, a few years ago. So I had to keep cutting the weight down. Literally, Kelly, I was mortified. I was like with 3 and 5 pound weights prancing around like a little pony. Here I'm like, hey, right? I couldn't even go to the gym. I'm like, I can't even let my friends see me. But what I did do was I honored where my body was. And because I listened to my body, I did not keep increasing that internal stress. And then as my stress levels lowered, the next year I was able to go back to the kettlebells, right? So it's understanding where you are today. And that doesn't mean that it's never. I think it's very exciting. All of a sudden, we've been doing something that's been working for us for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, you're like, well, why aren't my pants fitting? Like, what's going on? Mm. The great thing is there's always a reason why. And once you have the tools to decipher what your body's telling you instead of what the experts are telling you that you need to do, right? Nobody knows your body better than you, but there are a few clues that you're missing out on. And my books give you those clues.
Again, you said so many juicy things here that I want to latch onto, but I want to refer to what you said, I think maybe a couple answers ago. You talked about the scale and that the scale is not to be the enemy. And then I'm thinking about what you're saying here, that for you, you noticed that there was a time period where, hey, this was always working and suddenly it wasn't. And I think something that I'm pulling out of this is you're passing on to everybody. It's something that I have learned this past year is to learn to stop panicking. I would panic if I got 2 weeks into a certain practice or a workout routine and I wasn't seeing results. And even though mentally I know that's unreasonable, I would panic. What am I doing wrong? Is it, oh my God, was I not tracking my heart rate? Was I not doing enough? Was my hit not intense enough? You know, it's just kind of a panic reaction. Or if I went up in the scale, or if I was taking my measurements and I was up an inch on my waist, I would panic and think that everything I was doing was wrong. Where now I have come to the place in number one, realizing that panic and the self-loathing that typically ensues causes massive stress, which is literally, I view it as eating a large pizza every day. Like when I allow myself to get stressed, I might as well go order a large Giordano's pizza from Chicago, have it shipped to Austin, put it in the oven and eat the entire thing. Because stress causes everything to get disrupted. But when you've mentioned like chill out, understand that your body, I love how you said it, your body's giving you a message. If you're gaining weight, that's a message and it's giving you a clue. Take time to go, okay, let's figure this out. And the more that you calm down, I think you'll start to see, you'll figure things out more rapidly because you'll become more in tune with your body and you won't freak out as much over the crap that happens, right? Because it's not that you get well and fit once and then you're fit the rest of your life. Do you agree? In other words, like you're not anticipating that you're not going to have to do some adjustments in the next couple of years. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, everything that you use for analyzing your success or your failures, which it's neither really. It's just data points. It's a data point. So a few weeks ago, I constantly test. I constantly make fun of myself, and I share it on social media all the time. I was thinking that, you know, I want to get in my optimal shape. I'm 52, and I do this every year, and I motivate my folks with me. Come on, let's do this. Let's test it. So I tested an hour workout. I got a little cocky. I admit it. I was up a pound, and I was up an entire percent in body fat. So 2 days later, I decided to test a 25-minute workout, and I did some, you know, dynamic warm-ups, some squats, some weights. I was down a pound, and I was back down that percent in body fat. So I'm still at the point where that 25-minute intense workout works better for me. Does that mean that I am never going to test an hour workout again? No, because it's fun. Another example was back to running. You know, I realized about 5 years ago my body hated running, and running was always my go-to. That's how I would get to my leanest. As soon as summer came around, all of a sudden running stopped being fun. It started to be a chore. And I said, let me actually start tracking this data. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm gaining weight from a 3 mile run? Me? But you can't argue with your body. If your body's saying no, you need to listen. Because if you don't, long term, that's when we start to run into the health issues. So it's so much more than just weight. If you are gaining weight in response to a healthy stimulus, that's your body saying no. You need to stop before this becomes something serious.
I love that you brought up running and your reaction to it, because and by no means am I leading into cutting on running. I absolutely love running, but I always hear one of the comments we hear a lot. Folks write into us at Fitfluential and they'll ask, you know, what diet should I go on? Shouldn't I be doing this for weight loss? And one of the most common sentences I hear is, well, I know that if I want to lose weight, I just need to run. That's the best. I hear this all the time. That's the best way to shed weight. And that's the best way to lose a lot of fat. Just run and keep running and keep running. And I'm not disputing that that does work for a lot of people. You do see a lot of very lean runners. I also see a lot of women that swear by running. They do zero weight training. And I would never look at them in a normal setting and go, wow, that's somebody who's really fit. And they're tired and they're pushing it. And I don't think they've realized this is not necessarily working for me. But they think the answer when they're not losing weight is to just do more instead of figuring out what's potentially going to work for them. So it's going back to some of the big themes of today's conversation, which I love. You've got to find out what works for you. And there is no one size fits all. I know I'm saying that three or four times, people, but trust me, I had to learn. I took some very, I don't want to say poor advice, but over the last year, I certainly had a lot of people that were giving me, here's what you need to do, Kelly. You have adrenal fatigue. This is what you need to do. And I blindly did not trust myself. I blindly listened to all of this advice. And now that I'm in tune with my doctor here, Dr. Elaine Sebring, who's actually been on the show, you know, he said to me, you shouldn't have not worked out at all for 7 months. But I had several people go, people with adrenal fatigue should not work out at all. What he said was a little similar to what you had done with your experimentation. He said, why don't you test out how you feel after a 5 minute workout each day? If that works, try 10 minutes the next day. Try 15 minutes. If you're exhausted immediately afterwards, you need to scale back. If you're not exhausted immediately afterwards, see how you feel the next day. And then you keep tweaking it for you. But he didn't look at me and say, oh, adrenal fatigue and cortisol issues. You should be doing a 27 minute workout that looks like this. Because he knew it has to be right for me. So let me ask you this, and this is maybe putting you on the spot, but I know you're not going to have a problem with it. For those, I know you won't. For those that are listening, and I know you cover this in your book, a lot of women that are listening are probably going, oh God, maybe, you know, this is what's not working for me. Maybe I'm running too much. Maybe I'm not doing any cardio and I should. What are the first steps that a woman who's maybe hitting a plateau and knows she needs to do some tweaking in the area of exercise, What do you suggest are some good first steps to start tweaking? Do you scale back and do one thing only and test that? Do you start fresh with a different program? What would be some good steps to start tweaking and figuring out what works for you in the workout area?
Well, people are pretty shocked when they read the metabolism plan and they see how little they work out in the beginning. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are hardcore over-exercisers like us, and they freak out. But they also freak out when they see that they're losing weight, and a lot of weight, and losing a lot of body fat with just 6 to 8 minutes or 8 to 10 minutes. As a matter of fact, even if you're an athlete, days 5, 7, and 9, I'm not going to let you test more than 15 minutes of exercise, because I can't tell you, Kelly, how many people are on the verge of adrenal fatigue or on the verge of having trashed their metabolism from too much exercise. And very often what will wind up happening is when people work one-on-one with me, I'm working with a young woman right now. She's 50 pounds overweight. She was going to AKT classes 3 times a week, personal trainer 2x a week. She was a vegetarian. She thought she was doing all the right things. She's 40 pounds over her goal weight. So when we finally tested her on day 5, and that's the first day that we test exercise, she actually gained weight in response to 6 minutes of exercise. So we had to completely revamp her routine. We worked together for about 40 days. She loses about 28 pounds, which is super exciting. And after letting her body rest from this nonstop pushing that she was doing, we finally tested an hour and a half yoga class, and she lost 1.4 pounds. But here's what's fascinating. So she had built up her energy enough so that her body could exercise for that long. But as soon as we tested that AKT class, I swear to you, she gained 3 pounds. That was her body saying, hey, we really liked you taking a break from this. Please don't ever do this to us again.
I love it. I love it. But it's so true. And again, for everybody that's listening, this is now the way that I have learned. I am a definite overtrainer tendency type of a lady who the way that I used to work out is I would take a 45 minute workout and I'd finish it and I'd have my heart rate monitor on and I'm like, oh, that burned 550 calories. Well, if 550 is good, 650 is better, 750 is optimal, 850 is ideal. And each day, and people, if you look back at my old YouTube videos, that's what I used to do. More, 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 more. And little did I know, I was creating such damage internally with my hormones and the stress because it's not needed. I just was so hard on myself that I had more of an attitude of punishing, like kind of a workhorse. Oh, you're not skinny enough. Do some more, eat less, work out more. That's not healthy. And now I have learned, like you are saying, find out what works for you. Chill out a bit, enjoy the process, and take your time. I think that too is a big thing that you stress in your book is you're even though your clients and the folks that have read your book, and again, Lindsay's one of them, I'm a huge fan. I can't recommend it strongly enough, but you are encouraging people to chart their own path and take their time and kind of accept that it's lifestyle. This isn't, you're going to see great results, but this is something you're going to be doing for life, which is becoming in tune with your body, treating your body with love and respect, and listening to your body. Am I right?
Yeah, but when you know what works for you, you don't have to work as hard. And for you over-exercisers out there, you can be like me. So what I do is, I'm sure everybody that loves to exercise knows about periodization. So I know that as soon as June 1st hits, I'm going to exercise like a fanatic because it's fun for me. But I'm going to stop September 1st so my body can withstand that stimulus and I get all the benefits of a lot of exercise, but I know when to stop it. So understanding exactly what works for you allows you to create, just like a personal trainer, the optimal program for your body. And like I said, when you know what works for you, you're always in the driver's seat.
A to the men on that one. And I hate saying this, but we are actually running out of time for today. Lynn, you know I'm going to be stalking you after this to number one, try to get you to come back on the show. I feel like we've just scratched the surface, and I know that so many of our listeners are going to be writing in, and we encourage everybody to write in with questions for Lynn. We're potentially talking about having her join us as a host for one of our Fitfluential Twitter chats so you can engage with her live. We'll talk about that later, and if we can make that happen with our schedules, we will announce that. But Lynn, for everybody on the show, of course, everything will be in the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com, and you can write to us at Fitfluential through the links there as well. But for those listening, where is the best place for them to start finding out more information about you and your books and your programs, and where can they follow you online?
You can certainly check out my website. It's www.lynngenet.com. That's LYNGENET.com. I'm on Facebook, very active on there. We try to post a lot of information daily and make it sort of like a Wikipedia of everything that I believe in that has helped hundreds and thousands of men and women. And that's the Lynn Genet Plan. And I'm on Instagram too, Lynn Genet Plan. Lots of free recipes, lots of advice, lots of information that's going to help you find what works for your chemistry. Remember, it's chemistry, not calories, that's going to find the optimal health.
You just said the tagline. I was looking at your website and I was getting ready to close, and I was literally getting ready to say that. Like, this is, I love this blurb that she has on her website, and you just said it. So that's perfect. A perfect way to end the show. So Lynn, thank you so, so much for being on the show. Again, this is my sincere recommendation to everybody. I have read her book. I'm so glad that I was connected with this amazing woman who is a wealth of knowledge. She did say Facebook. I follow her there, and she has just videos, incredible content, speaking engagements that I've watched. She's just amazing. She is the gift that keeps on giving. So definitely tune into her. Thank you so much for being on the show. And everybody, we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.